Hey, it's Christine from Storyworthy. Today on the show, comedian Esther Koo tells a really well-told story about when she found out her lover was cheating on her.
We're hooking up and, you know, we're getting along and I like him a lot. And then we just keep seeing each other like month after month after month. But I didn't have the balls to say, are you seeing somebody else? You know, am I exclusive? I just wanted to believe that I was, so I never brought it up.
Today on the show, comedian Esther Koo shares a really personal story about when she caught her boyfriend cheating. Stay close.
Hey, it's Esther Koo, and you're listening to Storyworthy.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm coming to you from Los Angeles, California. Whether you're a longtime fan of the show or a new listener, like my friend Esther here, welcome to Storyworthy. I hope you guys enjoyed the show last week with actress and writer Becky Flom. Becky told a story about becoming accidentally pregnant. And I'm not giving it away because that was the title of the show.
Yeah.
Accidentally pregnant.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, it wasn't really a spoiler, but that it was cute. It was a good story. And actually, by the time she was done telling the story, I forgot that she was even going to get pregnant. You know? So it was good. So go back, you guys, listen to that, but not today, because today I'm here with comedian Esther Koo, and she brings forth the topic, when you catch them cheating.
That's right.
And, you know, that says a lot right there, you know, in the title. And, you know, my longtime listeners know that my first husband got another girl pregnant while we were married.
No!
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So I had this moment.
Oh, that's devastating.
It's bad, man. It is. You honestly don't think you're going to get off the floor. I know, right?
Oh, my God.
When you don't see it coming, and it's only happened to me, well, it's happened to me 3 times in my life, and so that's actually quite a lot. I mean, I don't need this every decade of my life.
Yeah.
But truly, I mean, to get cheated on, to be lied to be left brokenhearted is just so, it's like you go through so many emotions. Because, you know, why didn't you see it coming and how did this happen?
And you feel so stupid.
You're so stupid.
And how could I have fallen for this asshole?
Exactly. And then you have to, you don't have a choice, but you have to somehow get through it. I don't know. It's really.
It is. It's so devastating. Like heartbreaks.
Totally devastating.
Heartbreaks just wear you down, just break you. And it's true. I was on the floor crying too.
Yeah, it's true. And it's, you know, then you think like, well, obviously, that little thing called love, you know, that's why they write so many songs about it. You know,
it's so complicated and
know,
heartbreak. Like, everybody experiences heartbreak.
I know, but like sometimes now, maybe it's also at my age, like, because I went through a heartbreak last year and I will tell friends about it and they're like, eh, whatever. You know, like, get over it. By this age
you should be able to get over it?
Yeah, something kind of like a, whatever.
Yeah, because when you're a teenager, like, teenagers want to like kill themselves after their first boyfriend or girlfriend
they
breaks
think
up
it's
with them.
Everything.
And it's your first time and it's just so devastating that you
but
know
as you get older you start realizing like not one person is ever going to break you.
As
if
you,
you
get
let them.
Older, you're just like fuck this guy.
Yeah.
I don't have time to waste, whereas in the past I would keep going back. Be like,
so,
"But I still love you."
But what if you had the confidence you do now? Because some kids have it. Like, you know, what if you are 15 years old and you've got confidence? Do you still go through that? Or are you able to rationalize? Like, okay, well, I was, you know, in love and now she's not with me or whatever. And so can you kind of talk yourself out of that? Or
I don't know. I didn't fall in love when I was 15. So I don't know what a teenage breakup is.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. I know. I'm just thinking, my daughter's 12 and I know that stuff's coming down the road, you know. And, well, anyway, I've actually written. Listen
She's
to me.
Like, Mom, stop talking about me on your podcast.
I know, right? I'm writing a new show. I have a solo show out now, and I'm writing a new show called Dear Alabama. That's her name, and it is 15 chapters, 15 relationships, 15 ways I went and that you know.
Oh wow!
Didn't work out. You know, didn't work out. So I don't know if that makes me good or bad. I'm not sure. But I'll tell you something I did find recently, Miss Esther Koo, Robin Hood. Have you heard of Robin Hood?
Yeah. Robinhood is really great. You get it right on your phone, or of course you can go to the website
as well. Oh, it's an app?
Well, yeah.
Oh, Robinhood. I'm like, I've heard of Robinhood, the guy who wears the green leggings. Well, you're looking at me like, I know you're new to this country, but...
Esther, you're so flippin' funny, man. Listen, I got to tell you about this. It's a sponsor of mine, and I'm really excited about them. Robinhood, it's an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptos, all commission-free. You
know what I'm saying? No way.
Well, I'm telling you, usually you would be paying, you know, at other brokerages $10 for every trade at least. But Robinhood doesn't charge.
Why pay a human when you could just do it through an app?
Exactly.
It's very Japanese of you.
Hello. Thank you, everybody. Let's rise up. That's what I say. While other brokerages charge up to $10 for every trade, like I said, Robinhood doesn't charge any commission fees, so you can trade stocks.
Oh, I've heard of this.
You can trade stocks and keep all of your profits. Plus, check this out. There's no account minimum deposit needed to get started, so you can start investing at any level. The simple, intuitive design of Robinhood makes investing easy for newcomers and experts alike, which is very nice. You can view easy-to-understand charts and market data and place a trade in just 4 taps on your smartphone. You can also view stock collections, such as 100 most popular, etc. So with Robinhood, you guys, you can learn how to invest in the market as you build your portfolio, discover new stocks, track your favorite companies, and get custom notifications for price movements so you never miss the right moment to invest. It's so smart. And right now, Robinhood is giving listeners of Storyworthy a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help build your portfolio. You guys can sign up at storyworthy.robinhood.com. That's storyworthy.robinhood.com. You guys head over there, storyworthy.robinhood.com, and start investing like on your level. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, sometimes people might avoid brokers because they're not investing $20,000.
Right?
They're like, oh, I just have $50 to invest. But Robinhood will take it.
They'll take it. Well, yeah, absolutely. All right, listen, you make me laugh so hard. And this is not like a funny topic when you catch them cheating. It's not ha-ha funny, but it is, you know, so common, like we were saying. And especially as women and younger women and older women, I can say, put a lot of weight on this because it's true.
Well, you get attached to somebody and then your whole world comes crumbling down. You're like, how, what?
Yeah, it's just hard to believe somebody won't be there or that you won't. I'm going to start crying right now. I'm telling
Let's
you,
Let's do
man.
It.
Hey, listen, you have done so many great things in town here. Your comedy seems to really be picking up. You seem to be doing, you're out all the time now.
You know, I get around like the Beach Boys say. I think that song was about me. People think Lil Miss Koo was about me. Little do they know.
Listen, do you have a regular club, though? The Laugh Factory or the Comedy Store or the Improv? Is one of those the ones you like to go to most?
I like the Improv.
Yeah, I like the Improv, too.
Yeah.
I have never been a Laugh Factory person. I have performed there, but just on an open mic situation. You know, like...
Well, when Jamie hired all those Asians, people just thought I was, like, you know, working there.
You thought you were in like Flint.
Oh, man. People thought I was staff. And I'm like, I'm a comedian. I'm out of here.
You're so damn funny. And then I was at the Comedy Store for a long time. And I really liked the vibe there. I mean, just even going to shows there, producing shows there. I did the Belly Room for several years. But when it comes down to it, I like the Improv the most because I think it's, I don't know, it's a combination of old school but also some newer elements that don't seem as, like, haunted or like, smell like death.
Yeah.
I don't know. Am I wrong?
No. I mean, I like the... I love the store, too.
Yeah.
You know?
I do, too. There's a great vibe in there.
Yeah.
And there's so much going on.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Hey, listen, I want to show you one more thing that I'm really excited about, and that is my new Beta brand pants. Do you wear yoga pants?
All the time.
I know. Everybody does, right? I thought it was just like a California thing, but it turns out everybody...
It's an everywhere thing.
Everybody wants to be comfortable.
So you wear yoga pants all the time.
I wear a lot of yoga pants because, obviously...
They're just so comfortable.
They're very comfortable. And there's this new brand I just found. They're called Beta Brand. And it is the craziest thing. They look like regular dress pants. So you can wear them to work. So you're working and then you're doing splits.
Because they're black.
Because they can be black, navy, they've got khaki and gray as well. And then there's seasonal different pants you can get in limited edition colors and stuff like that. Their selections range in all shapes and sizes. And I don't know, compared to other, you know, when I have jeans on, there's no way I'm just going to lay down and do some sit-ups. It's just not going to happen.
They're just stiff.
Because they're stiff and they bind. But yoga pants, well, you know how they feel. And so...
Well, because I do yoga all day, basically.
Do you?
Yeah. I mean, I'm stretching everywhere I go. I'm making soup and let me just stretch against a chair.
I do too, actually. I do.
You know, it's good for you. Too.
And I've also got a lot of compliments on them at these different moms from school because I'm kind of looking like I'm put together. So you can wear these pants all day. They go with me everywhere I go. And I'm telling you, they're super comfortable. They've got a faux zipper and faux pockets. And they've got a front button and belt loops. And so they totally look like regular pants. And I prefer the straight leg ones. And I also like the boot cut because that's just the kind of the bottoms I like. Do you know what I mean? They also have like crop bottoms
they have,
and leggings.
Wow, I've never had bootleg leggings before.
There you
go. So they look like real pants because of the bootleg.
Thank you. You're getting
it now, Esther.
Because
when they're tapered, they're obviously yoga pants.
You guys, visit betabrand.com/story to get 20% off yours. I'm telling you, millions of women agree that these are the most comfortable pants you're ever going to wear to work. That's betabrand.com, BETABRAND.com/story to get 20% off your dress pant yoga pants. I'm telling you, Esther, you could go straight from yoga to on stage, then off stage to the club, you know, and then back home for jammy time.
I do yoga on stage, so this is perfect.
You know,
because you don't want to break your pants.
That's what I'm saying. You don't want to split your pants.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know one time I told a story on my head at because the audience was small, and I was like, you know, I'm just going to try this right now. Because I can stand on my head for extended periods of time.
Wow.
So I told my whole story of like 7 minutes on my head.
Oh, my God.
It was exciting. I'll stand on my head for you later if you want. But we don't have to. Hey, listen, I'm anxious to hear your story, even though, like I said, when you catch them cheating is devastating. It is devastating, but look, I got through it. I know you got through it. I'm anxious to hear your story. But before we get to Esther's story, I did want to remind you guys to follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Storyworthy. That's easy, isn't it? And, you know, Esther, they're already following you at Cuckoo, right?
At Esther Cuckoo.
At Esther Cuckoo. So once you're over there... then you just click on the story worthy.
Once you flew over my Twitter nest.
That's exactly.
Just go right to at Storyworthy.
Exactly.
It's the title of the show.
It's right in the title. And also, you guys, check out my other new podcast, which I want you to be on as well, Esther. It's called ScrewedUpStories.com with my friend, comedian Rachel O'Brien. She and I just started this new show in December with Westwood One Podcast, and they're giving us a lot of great promotion, and we're excited. We record over in their studios in Culver City, and different women come on and tell their screwed up stories.
Oh my God.
And here's what happens. Here's what happens, Esther. It doesn't matter how old you are as a woman. You're in your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. We all have very similar stories about screwing up. And when we talk about those stories, a bit of synergy happens, and that, my friend...
it's a way to bond.
Podcast gold.
Ooh, I love it.
So yeah, check that out, you guys. And you guys can head over to screwedupstories.com. Thank you. Yes, that would be very helpful. All right, you guys, she's here right now, Esther Koo. Like I said, she's a comedian, and you may know her from NBC's Last Comic Standing, MTV's Girl Code, Nick Cannon's Wild and Out on MTV2, and Comedy Central's At Midnight. You've also done the Jack and Triumph Show, who I love that. I love that puppet team. I love that puppet team.
Robert Smigel,
love him. You've also been on Family Guy, The Jim Gaffigan Show, and you'll be hosting the 2019 AVN Awards in Las Vegas. That's exciting. And you're also a member of the all-female sketch show Sorry Not Sorry on Go 90. That's funny. And then you've been a guest on a lot of different shows. Everybody loves you, Esther, because you're sassy and funny. And you're always interesting to talk with. And I'm so glad you came. So you've also been on the Joe Rogan Experience, Getting Doug with High, The Opie Show, and also with Jim Norton on Sirius XM. And you've been on with Jenny McCarthy's Dirty Sexy Funny Show on Sirius XM Stars and the Playboy Morning Show. Did you do that in Burbank at that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's nice studios. Everybody over there is so great.
It's so nice.
Yeah, I love it over there. And then you were selected by Howard Stern as a finalist on the Hottest Funniest Chick Contest, which is so, to me, impressive because I'm such a Howard fan. So, like, I always like his taste. Do you know what I mean? I just do.
Well, I was terrified. We were all terrified. Like, he's going to make fun of us.
I believe it.
But
I
he was
imagine.
Scared of us that we're going to make fun of him because usually he has strippers or porn stars in.
And you guys are so much smarter.
And we're comedians. Yeah. And so he's being like cautious, okay, and we're being cautious, and I think it was kind of a little awkward.
And when you were you in his studio then?
Mm-hmm.
And when you meet with him, you know, he's there. As I understand it, he's kind of sitting up a little bit higher, and the lights are very dim around him.
I guess so. I don't remember.
Yeah.
I just remember they had Häagen-Dazs in the green room.
Wow, that was a treat.
Yeah, I didn't really have time to like eat one.
I would have ate it, you know, because when I get a job, I always feel like this is my reward day. Do you know what I mean? Like, otherwise it's all working.
One time these UTA agents took me to lunch. Yeah.
And you ate well.
And we went to a diner in New York for lunch, and I saw the Thanksgiving dinner plate.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I'm going to get that.
Yeah.
But I think it kind of backfired because they didn't rep me. They're like, this girl looks like she's hungry in the bad way.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, that is extensive, especially to get the Thanksgiving plate. Usually at a diner, you know, I don't know. I always get things like a little more blasé-faire. You know what I mean? Like a tuna sandwich or a tuna melt.
I know, but I just like Thanksgiving food.
I just think it's so funny. No, and they always do have like a pot roast.
They were probably like, this is probably her first Thanksgiving.
She's
forcing us to celebrate with her.
But I look at her,
even though it's March.
When I look at a diner menu, though, you know, I always see those items, but I always blow right by them. But I do think to myself, who orders them?
Me.
And now I know, Esther Koo. And I have to tell you, Esther, recently I've been cooking a lot at home, and I've been using Every Plate. Have you ever heard of Every Plate? I got to tell you, this is one meal kit delivery service that I can really get behind. I mean, when other dinner options cost like $10 a serving, Every Plate is offering 5 chef design recipes each week for only $4.99 a serving. It's like I can't afford not to use Every Plate. I mean, Every Plate dinners are the cheaper, healthier alternative to takeout or delivery. I mean, this is really the way to go. And recipes come together in about 30 minutes, and it's definitely faster than going to the grocery store. Every Plate has easy to follow recipes that take the stress out of dinner time, and that's what I need, Esther. It's like Every Plate does the meal planning, the shopping, and the prepping for you. It takes the time-consuming guesswork out of cooking. Plus, you never buy more ingredients than you need because Every Plate's recipes come with everything already pre-measured. It's so flippin' smart, right? Plus, the food is really, really good. Recently, I made chili cherry pork chops, and like, there is no way I could ever make anything like this unless, you know, there were pictures and a recipe card and the ingredients in front of me. I mean, there's just no way I could pull it together. And then I made something else that my daughter just loved, which was bacon mac and cheese. And that sounds simple, but the thing is the way Every Plate gives it to you, it's like gourmet. And it just makes everything so much better. I'm telling you guys, Every Plate is the way to go. And right now, you guys, you can get 6 free meals across your first 3 weeks and free shipping on your first delivery if you go to everyplate.com and enter StoryWorthy6. That means you're going to get 6 free meals across your first 3 weeks and free shipping on your first delivery. So again, go to everyplate.com and enter the promo code StoryWorthy6. You guys head over to everyplate.com and use the promo code StoryWorthy6. You got it, Esther? Yes? See, I knew that. You're a smart girl. And also, you've appeared on the Artie Lang Show on DirecTV. You've done it all, I'm telling you. You can find her over on Twitter and Instagram. Same one, right? At Esther Koo.
At Esther Koo. Esther Koo.
See, there it is. All right, you guys. Here she is right now. Put your hands together for Esther Koo.
Yay!
Hooray!
Thank you so much. I have to ask you how sad you would like the story, because, you know, there's sad versions that I can tell, or, you know, when you get like a tofu soup in Koreatown, they ask you how spicy.
Yeah, 1 to 10. Mild, medium, or hot, or 1 to 10.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you know, I don't know how you can get around not being a difficult situation, catching somebody cheating.
Yeah, so my mouth should just bear it all.
I think you just do what you do, yeah. Because if it's you're being truthful, that's you can't really control it from there.
Okay. So what happened, right, I was living in New York, and I just started, like, hooking up with this guy. But, you know, coming from a Korean family and a background, Koreans are kind of like Irish people. We don't really talk about things openly. If you have a problem, you just shove it under the rug. We don't ever like communicate or say things like I love you, you know? We hide everything. So I never like grew up with those affectionate words, or I didn't know how to express myself or have the relationship talk. So I I saw girls do it in movies, but I was like, I can't do that. You know, when girls are like, we need to talk. And then they talk about like their relationship status of what are we doing? Are we boyfriend, girlfriend? So it just kind of, you know, sometimes you just start hooking up with a guy and that's just what happened. And we just never had to talk. I never said, are we exclusive? I just assumed we were exclusive. And I think that's a, you know, it's an easy thing to kind of fall into that because, you know, I didn't want to be vulnerable to be like, well, I just wanted to believe that we were exclusive. And I never really put myself out there by making him say to me, we are exclusive. So we're hooking up and, you know, we're getting along and I like him a lot. And then we just keep seeing each other like month after month after month. Maybe I don't even remember because I was just smoking a lot of weed and I just forgot how much time went by. So it could be anywhere from 6 to 12 months that went by that we're seeing each other on a regular basis, right? And then just one day I was like, you know, as a comedian, every Monday or Tuesday night, it can also feel like a Saturday or Sunday. So I never realized that I never see him on weekends until like several months in. Then I'm thinking, oh, you know, it's weird. I never see, because I'm always doing shows on Friday, Saturday anyway. So I never really needed to see him on weekends because I was busy. So one day though, I was like, oh, I think I don't ever see him on weekends. That's weird. And I was thinking, maybe he's like seeing somebody else. So I just started like getting kind of like curious, like, is he? But I didn't have the balls to say, are you seeing somebody else? You know, am I exclusive? I just wanted to believe that I was. So I never brought it up. Right. So then I one day I was at his apartment and I would sleep over all the time. And he was like, I'm going to go. I got to go to work, but you can sleep in. You know, I know you stayed out late and you can sleep in and just let yourself out. So while he went to work, I took the keys to his apartment and I went to the hardware store and I made a copy so that I could investigate, like, is he seeing someone else? To me, it was easier to do that than to, like, ask him straight out. So I go to the hardware store around the corner and there's a hardware store like every 3 blocks in New York. So it's so easy to make a copy of a guy's keys, right? So I go, I say, I need a copy of each of these keys. So there's like the front door, then there's the, you know, the apartment door. So I think I got two keys made or something. I held onto those keys for like another 2 or 3 months. And every time I was in his neighborhood, like doing a show, I'd like be like, oh, I want to see what's going on. You know, I kind of wanted like just barge in and be like, and just, you know, I wonder what's going on, but I'll do it another day. And then one day I just like mustered up the balls to be like, I'm going to go in there. And so in the middle of the day on like a Tuesday, I just let myself into his apartment and I just stick the key in his apartment door. I unlock it. Then I go inside and there's like a woman's bra on the floor and then like a woman's clothes all over. And I'd never seen women's clothes in his apartment before. So I just thought he was just like kind of like this pathetic single guy. So I'm looking around and when I had gone in there, I had locked all the doors, locked all the locks behind me. And there's like 4 locks. It's New York, right? So I locked all of the doors, all the locks. Then I'm looking around the bedroom. All of a sudden I hear the door like jiggling. Somebody's trying to get in. So I sneak over to the front door. I look through the peephole and I see a woman, this blonde woman, really pretty. She's like trying to like unlock the door, but I had locked the one padlock that there's no key for. You could only like unlock it from the inside. So then I call him and I say, hey, I broke into your apartment, but now somebody else is trying to break into your apartment. And he was like, you're so funny, ha, 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 ha. And I literally said to him 5 times, I am not kidding. I broke into your apartment. And he just thought, there's no way. How can I break into his apartment? What am I going to go through the fire escape? It's on the 3rd floor, you know? And his apartment's secured. There's locks. So he's like, you're so funny. I'm like, I'm not fucking kidding. I'm in your bathroom and there's this blonde woman trying to break into your apartment now. You gotta help me. And he goes, you really did it. I go, what? He goes, that's my wife. And I was just like, what the fuck? Like, I thought you were this, like, lonely dude. Like, I thought you were pathetic. Like, I had no idea you were married. And, like, the apartment walls, they're completely blank. Like, if there's a decoration, it's like a vase. You know, just such a generic, like, living situation. Like, if you're married, why isn't your wife's picture anywhere?
Yeah.
Right? So then I'm like, he's like, you gotta just run. Just run out the door. I go, she's gonna see me. And I'm like trying to like strategize an exit plan without having to deal with her because I just, this news just broke to me. I gotta wait till I get home to cry because I'm trying to get out of this apartment without like letting her know that her husband's cheating, you know? And later on, my therapist was like, you were protecting him. And I should have just opened the goddamn door and been like, who are you? And she would have been like, I'm his wife, you know? And I would be like, oh, I had no idea who was married. And then we would have had a movie scene there. Yeah. But instead, I'm looking out the fire escape. I can't jump that high. And then, so he tells her to go to the police station because it might be a burglar in there. So he convinces her to leave so that I can make my escape. And the whole time, I'm like, you have a wife? What the fuck? The whole time he knows that his wife is right outside the door and I'm inside the apartment. He's like, I am so hard right now. Oh. And I'm like, oh my God, you fucking piece of shit. This is not the time. Like, get hard later, you idiot. So while she goes to the police station, I open the door and I was gonna just go down the stairs through the lobby of the building, but I didn't want her to see me in case she was still kind of there or if the police were on the way. I was like, you called the police on me? Like, yes. Now I'm going to get arrested.
Yeah.
So I open the door and I go up the stairs to the fourth floor, then to the rooftop. And I climb up that ladder and I open the latch to the rooftop of this, like, apartment. And I walk across the roof to the next apartment building and go down their staircase so that I could protect him at all costs. And so I exit that way and I don't even turn to see if she's around or if in case the cops were around or anything because I didn't want to get arrested. So then I just go home and I was just devastated. Just devastated. And then I just went home and I just cried for weeks. And then I also got mugged shortly afterwards, like maybe like a couple weeks later or something. I got mugged and I had a concussion and a black eye. Oh. And he was like not allowed to come see me because he had confessed to her that he was cheating on her. Oh. And so I had, you know, grown accustomed to somebody's affection and their hugs and you just need them. And here I was like physically wounded. I went to the hospital and like I couldn't even hug the person that I thought I loved at the time.
Yeah.
You know, so it was just like heartbreak on top of like physical, like I got attacked by, you know, somebody in Brooklyn and I got knocked out unconscious. So I'm just like bawling my eyes out for like a good month or two.
I hate him.
Right?
I hate him. Why do you think he led this double life? He was literally leading a double life.
He said that him and his wife hadn't had sex in years. And who knows if that's true, but yeah. He's still married and then, I don't know.
And they just had a really like sparse living style?
Yeah. And I would sleep over because he like... They had like two properties.
Oh, so she was like at the other house.
Yeah, something. Exactly. Like, so I kind of believed him. And who knows? It might be true, like that technically they're still married and, you know, it's yeah. easier than getting a divorce, just living this separate life. But
and did you ever speak with him again?
I did, yeah.
And what was that conversation like?
You know, it was still very, like, Irish and Korean. Like, let's just, you know, because it was just hard for me to confront him, like, you really hurt me, you know? Like, I talked to my therapist about it more than I did with him.
Sure. I'm so sad that's not just you. You know, that happens to a lot of women. I was like that for years, not able to use my words. And it really has just changed for me in the last, like, 10 years that I've had my daughter, in terms of, like, helping her grow and always telling her, use your words, because even if it's the worst thing to say, at least you're using your words and making it clear. Now, how they react to you is completely beyond your control. So it's just sad that it takes women a long time to do that. It's not
I don't think
just
it's
you.
Just women. I think it's just anybody who grows up in a household where, you know,
your parents
weren't, you know, emotionally affectionate.
Yeah. You can say easier that I broke into your apartment than you could say, you know, are you seeing anybody else?
Yeah. Totally.
It's really sad. So do you think it was like from your mom or your dad or both your parents?
Yeah. I mean, my parents, they not only spoke a different language, but they were never affectionate with anything.
Yeah. So that you was just like a cold. I'm so sorry. That sucks.
Yeah. So that's why I'm a comedian.
It just makes things harder. Yeah. Well, and it makes things harder for you because you got to figure out on your own. I mean, I'm much like that as well in terms of like getting crushed as a teenager. And then it's like always trying to come, you know, out of that. And it takes your whole fucking life. It's trauma.
It takes your whole life. And I've gone to therapy for years.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm able to stand up for myself better now than I ever happened.
And a lot of that is, I'm not kidding, the Me Too movement has really empowered a lot of women. I mean, you know, to at least be able to say, you are not allowed to have your hands on my body. Or you are not allowed to say that to me. Or, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, women in general have been repressed for so long. So we continue to be repressed. We continue to be. And so it's just kind of like it feeds upon itself. And it's just like, but I feel like we all really do have this power to change in terms of like just now and then try using your words and see what happens. Because you might think like a bomb's going to go off and the ceiling's going to fall and you'll realize that they're actually quite rational. I mean, unless your friends are getting together with people that are completely assholes, you know what I mean? Then you got to trust that you're talking to somebody who can use their words and who can rationalize, like, okay, I'm processing that, it's fucked up, but I need to, you know, I'm going to hold it together. And then say back another adult sentence. This is just about being adults. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but it's hard. Like,
it is hard.
If you didn't grow up that way,
right?
It's an adjustment.
A huge adjustment. But I'm just saying it's possible. But what I'm saying, though, is then also you get guys like this guy who totally was probably preying on you from the beginning, knowing that you were weak, you know, and he probably thought you were easy and weak. And so that he could keep
all this
from you.
Yeah, he got off so easy. Like, no, you know, he never even got the question, like,
yeah,
you know, what's our status?
Yeah. I'm telling you. So now, you know, this is a good podcast because some people probably, you know, can take from this and
learn from it.
I mean, it sounds cliche, but, you know, you went and had to learn this the hard fucking way, man.
Yeah.
Now, when you made the key to the apartment, was your heart just pounding or what?
It was like exhilarating. I was like, I felt empowered. I'm like, if he's not going to give me a key to his goddamn apartment, I'm going to make my own.
So you see the key sitting on the, you know, table by the,
yeah,
by the door. You pick them up and you just like slip them in your pocket.
Yeah.
Go downstairs.
Oh, you know why I had the suspicion that he was cheating on me is because one time I lost my phone and I asked him to use his phone to call myself. And I saw that my phone number was saved as Mark on his phone. But even at that moment, when I saw Mark flashing on his phone, I didn't even confront him. I didn't say, who's Mark? And why do you have me saved as Mark? I just kind of stored that in my head.
Yeah. Well, sometimes we don't want to know.
We don't want to know the truth.
We don't want to know the truth. It's so flipping
We're
painful.
We're afraid of the truth. So lying to myself.
Right. And then sure enough, this happens and it all comes down anyway. It like tumbles down anyway. It's just prolonging your heartbreak, right? I did it all the time in my 20s, especially like when I was 18, 19, 20, 21, when I was in college and I lied to everybody. I had 3-4 boyfriends at a time. I just lied to everybody because I didn't want anybody to not like me. I didn't want to say the wrong thing. I didn't want to make any waves.
Oh my God, were you like nervous?
And I wanted
like,
to make people happy.
They're going to find out about each other?
Yeah, totally. So it was like I had to like have like charts practically.
Wow, that's so organized.
I had like a whiteboard. Yeah, no, and my friends would make fun of me. But it wasn't, you know, in the end, it was also devastating for me because those guys could walk away and say, you know, she lied, she's a bitch or whatever. And then I have to sit there and think like, wait a minute, why did I make those choices and why couldn't I use my voice? Like, I can't see you right now because I like this other person unless you, you know, like, why couldn't I say,
yeah, instead of constantly hiding it.
Yeah, why not just say, hey, you need to know that, you know, what we're doing here is dating. And when you're in a dating situation, you know, just outline some things, what, you know, where we're at.
Yeah.
Because it could mean anything.
And I also kind of masked it under, well, I'm so cool.
Yeah.
Like, I just let him do whatever he wants. I don't even, like, meddle in his personal life, you know? Like, that's how I sold it to myself.
Yeah. And then the next thing you know, you're like a full-on criminal.
I know. Breaking and entering. Like, I could have that on my record.
I mean, honestly. And then when, thank God, he lured her away. And then you just go down the hallway just like,
Yeah, because I don't even know.
Wait, no, you go down the hallway, then you go up the stairs, then to the other building. God damn.
And he has the balls to tell me that he's got a raging boner because this is the first time me and his wife have been so in close proximity to each other.
I hate him so much.
Right?
He's like, just crazy. He sounds like a sociopath. Unless he just truly thought you didn't care. Or you just didn't, you were available no matter what. Or he was just so flat out lying.
Yeah.
It was so blatant.
I know. But also, like, the apartment was so sparse.
Pristine, yeah.
That, like,
didn't seem like two people's stuff.
No, it was like, literally, it looked like you're renting a hostel room. You
like
know what
minimalist,
I mean?
Minimalist.
A total minimalist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Wow. She probably knew he was, you know, she probably knew he was cheating.
Who knows?
Who knows?
Yeah.
Okay, so I know it sounds cliche, but have you learned? I mean, what do you think you're taking from this? Seriously, as you get older, I mean, and you're dating.
When
you're
I let a guy sleep over, don't leave my keys out.
Yeah. No, but I mean, you know, do you find yourself like this could happen again? Or like, in other words, okay,
no.
Let's say you start dating a guy, you want to see him more. And then at some point you're like, I really only want to see him. I need to get some words between us as to, is he seeing anybody else? Or where are we? You know, just define it. You know, if you can enter my body, I should be able to use my English language to you.
Yes. No, I definitely have higher standards now. And I've gone to a lot of therapy to, you know, kind of learn how to say those things, stand up for myself and, you know, demand certain standards.
It's just so ironic then, and you're a stand-up comedian with all the confidence in the fucking world. You know what I mean?
All the fake confidence in the world.
I know, but it's so interesting, though, how hurt most comedians are. You know what I mean? Most comedians come from a place of, I am so damaged, I could be on a stage and get rejected and I'll take it.
And we'll go back and ask for more.
Isn't that the craziest thing? Sometimes.
But it kind of makes sense.
Yeah. I know. Well, it's what propels you further. You know what I mean? I say that, but then I don't think like Ellen DeGeneres is having any problems anymore. Do you know what I mean? In terms of like now she's got, you know, all the money in the world and she's still hilarious. So. Or you know what I mean? Because how can you equate that? Like to somebody who's successful, they're not hurt anymore.
Well, I look at the successful comedians like maybe like the commercially successful, like, you know, you make a lot of money successful. I look at them and I'm like, I feel like they didn't get hurt as much. And maybe it's like a jealousy thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, I feel like I'm more dysfunctional than them.
So it's a combination of you know, coming from that place or coming from that home of rejection that makes you want to get complete approval from strangers. So there's that. But then there's the art of it because it's very, stand-up comedy is so poetic. Every word has weight. You know, it's all so, it's a puzzle and you got to be fucking brilliant to do it, to do it well and to keep going back. So there's a brilliance to it. And then there's the fact, like, let's say you get the show, you get the money, you get the esteem, and you are traveling, and you're, you know, you've got an income, and you're getting what you say you wanted, then can it ever make somebody feel whole anyway, you know, even though you've gone through these things? Can you feel whole? I mean, you listen to successful people like Marc Maron. You know, you might think, like, that's his gig, is that he's depressed. Like, that's his thing.
Yeah.
That's his hook. It is his hook. I guess it was Woody
Allen's hook. Like he meant to make it his hook. He just started talking about it.
Right. But anyway, I'm just saying, you look at different successful comedians, and they seem to, and I don't know the answer either, because I'm not where I want to be. You know, I mean, I am and I am not. But my point is like, you look at what comes together for them. So the opportunity meets the preparedness. They're obviously polished. They know what they're doing. They get comfortable in their bodies. They don't care as much, and they use their words. You know what I mean? It's all the power we have. So, like, this lesson in this heartbreak that you just had to go through.
Yeah, well, that's the crazy thing.
It's going to make you a better comedian.
That's the crazy thing is that, you know, I'm more comfortable talking about myself on stage to a group full of strangers than when I'm one-on-one with a guy and calling him out or asking for standards.
Yeah, but it's changing.
You know?
And so, but
no,
it's
and it
changing.
Has changed.
And that's exciting. That's really exciting because then you see the movement of women's empowerment. I mean, you know what I mean? It might sound cliche, but we fucking need this, man. This is like about time.
Totally.
And everybody needs to be speaking up. Yeah, man, you heard it here first. And I'm glad you got a lot of good sex out of that. That was something. 6 months, 12 months, that's a good amount of sex, I'll tell you what. All right, you guys, we got to wrap it up. I want to thank you so much for tuning in today. Tweet Esther Koo over there on Twitter at Esther Koo Koo and let her know that you liked her story. And then tweet me over there as well at Storyworthy. And I want to give a big shout out to all the sponsors on the show today. Because really, you guys, when you support my sponsors, then you're supporting me and my child.
True.
It's so exciting. So thank you very much for supporting my sponsors. And one more time, on the behalf of the very talented Esther Koo, you're very talented.
Oh, thank you, you so much, Christine.
Just a beautiful flipping story, man. Just, I mean, it's a tragic story, but it's also very beautiful. And it was raw and emotional. And I swear to God, people are going to learn from this experience.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
It's amazing. All right, you guys, my name is Christine Blackburn, saying make it a story worthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.